The letter of James is serving as the inspiration for our fall preaching series called Putting the Pieces Together, puzzling out what it means to be church. Back at the beginning of September, we sent out an all-church mailing so that every household in the church got one piece of a puzzle. Many of you have returned your pieces to the church. You've either brought them back to worship on a Sunday morning, or you've sent them to the church office or dropped them by the church at some point. Thank you for doing that. If you still have not returned your puzzle piece, it is not too late. We will continue to collect the pieces over the next few weeks. And by the end of the sermon series, I promise that you will get to see what the whole puzzle looks like. Now let's turn to our scripture reading for today. It's important to remember that the book of James is unique in the New Testament for its practical wisdom. James is not so concerned with what we think about our faith or how we feel about our faith. He's more concerned with how we live out our faith in our everyday lives. For James, faith matters only if it is shared with others and used to make the world a better place. For James, the church matters only if it is putting God's love into action. So our fall sermon series is helping us put the pieces together as we puzzle out what it means to be church in the world today. Last week, our new associate pastor, Brian Craig, shared the reminder that God calls us to be a blessing to others. We are called to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. We are called to be doers of the word and not merely hearers. Now, today's scripture reading picks up right where last week's left off. Last week's passage ended with the reminder that true religion, true faith, is that which cares for orphans and widows in their distress. Today's reading builds on that understanding of faith and reinforces James' belief that we cannot fully live out our faith unless we put our faith into action. According to James, we cannot truly proclaim ourselves to be followers of Jesus unless we are willing to make a difference in the world. So let's listen now for the word of God in James chapter 2, verses 1 through 17. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the one who is poor, you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters. Has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into court? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. Here ends the reading. For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God. And now again, we will join our voices together in song as we are reminded of the importance of showing our love as Christians to the world. Our middle hymn today is "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love." Those of you here in the sanctuary will find it in the hymnals in the pew racks in front of you. And if you're worshiping with us at home, a link to the hymn will drop into the comments. Please be seated. And please join with me in a spirit of prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. There is a restaurant in Washington, D.C. that looks just like any other restaurant, really. Sakina Halal Grill is located just blocks from the White House. And during the lunchtime rush, customers flock there for the all-you-can-eat buffet of authentic Pakistani Indian food. At least they did in the before times. The pandemic hit Sakina hard. Sakina was a restaurant that capitalized on all the foot traffic in downtown DC. But all those customers vanished practically overnight when the pandemic first hit. Sakina had to close down completely in the spring of 2020. Even after they opened up again with takeout orders and socially distanced dining, they weren't making anywhere near enough money to keep the restaurant afloat. So last fall, restaurant owner Kazi Manan decided that desperate times called for desperate measures. He started a GoFundMe page and asked for help raising $250,000 to keep Sakina open. The response from the community was immediate, and it was generous. The GoFundMe campaign ended up raising $336,000. Now, you might be wondering why people responded so quickly and so generously to this one restaurant's request. Kazi certainly wasn't the only restaurant owner who struggled to keep his business afloat over the past year and a half. I'm sure all of us can think of restaurants or other small businesses that just couldn't survive the pandemic. So why did people rally behind Sakina and its owner, Kazi? I think it's because Sakina is a place where you can get more than just delicious food. At Sakina, Kazi has made it his mission to offer people who are homeless the same experience as paying customers. So that means anyone who asks for a free meal gets one. No questions asked. And the people who receive free meals eat in the restaurant right alongside paying customers. Before the pandemic, Kazi estimates that he and his staff gave away 16,000 free meals a year. And they were profitable then. So when Kazi asked for help to keep Sakina open, the community responded so quickly and so generously because they knew that Kazi was making a difference in the world with his restaurant model. Now, you might also be wondering why Kazi decided to do this in the first place, why he decided to open his restaurant to the homeless community. He does it because he remembers what it was like to go without. When Kazi came to the U.S. from Pakistan in 1996, he had less than $5 in his pocket. He remembers what it was like to worry about where his next meal was going to come from. He remembers what it was like to pass by restaurants and not be able to go in. And he remembers what he learned from his mother growing up back in Pakistan. He was one of 11 children, and his family was very poor. They didn't have electricity or running water, but his mother taught him and his siblings to always give thanks to God. And every night, When his mother made dinner, she would send her children to deliver some of their food to neighbors. So when Kazi opened a restaurant in Washington, D.C., he decided to name the restaurant Sakina, which is his mother's name. And he decided right from the start that people who were homeless or hungry would always be welcome to eat there for free. He decided not to listen to the naysayers who cautioned him against letting homeless people into his restaurant, the doubters who told him that serving those in need would be bad for business. On the very first day that Sakina was open, Kazi went to the local park and invited the homeless community to come and eat, and he told them, "This is your restaurant." Ultimately, what Kazi is doing is an act of faith. Because if you ask him why he does what he does, he will tell you this. If you want to worship God, you have to show kindness to his creation. Worship is not that you isolate yourself in a temple, a mosque, a church. No, worship is a lot of action. God created us to treat each other with kindness and love. Kazi sounds like a modern-day James, doesn't he? He would certainly agree with James that people of faith are called not to make distinctions between the rich and the poor. At Sakina, there is no distinction between those who come in with gold rings and fine clothes and those who come in wearing dirty clothes. All are welcome to sit at the same tables and eat the same food. And Kazi is truly living out the one verse that the book of James is really known for, which is this: "So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead." Or as Kazi would put it, if you want to worship God, you have to show kindness to his creation. Now, much has been said over the years about the apparent contradiction between this one verse in James and the broader understanding that salvation in the Christian faith is by faith alone. When James says that faith without works is dead, is he saying that we aren't saved by God's grace? I think James is less interested in the source of our salvation and more committed to the effects that salvation has on our lives and on the world. He's not saying that God's grace doesn't matter. God's grace is an extraordinary gift, a gift that we remember each and every time we celebrate the sacrament of baptism, just as we did today. It is God's grace poured out upon us that forms us into God's beloved children and fashions us into God's beloved church. But that grace is such an amazing gift. It should prompt us, push us, propel us toward good works, not because we need to earn our own salvation, but because we want to show others there is power in God's love. Making a difference, making the world a better place, is our way of proclaiming that our faith matters, that our church matters, not just because it changes our lives, but because it has the power to change the world. Now, if you are thinking to yourself, how can I put this into action? You are lucky, because this coming Saturday is OSU's Day of Giving, sponsored by our Board of Missions. And so all of us have the opportunity right at the end of this week to come together and make a difference in the world. We will gather on Saturday, October 2nd from 12:30 to 4 p.m. We'll start here in the sanctuary for a time of blessing. And then we will break off into different groups to do a variety of different projects that will make a difference here in our own community, throughout the South Shore, and around the world. We'll be making baked goods for bagged lunches for Father Bill's homeless shelter, and then putting those bagged lunches together. We'll be shopping for and assembling hygiene kits for Interfaith Social Services and Friends of Boston's homeless. We'll be making no-sew housewarming blankets for Friends of Boston's homeless. And these are really cool because you honestly do not need to have any sewing experience. All you do is tie knots. Anyone can do it, and it's really fun. We'll be assembling grocery bags for Interfaith Social Services food pantry. We'll be writing letters to soldiers overseas through Operation Gratitude. We'll be writing well-wish notes to children to bless them in this new school year through Cradles to Crayons. We'll be decorating lunch bags for recipients of Meals on Wheels. And we will be sending one crew to my brother's keeper in Easton to pack up bags of donated food. So you can see there are a variety of ways in which we can share our time and our talents together as a church to make a difference in the world. And I am so proud of all the ways our church comes together to make a difference. We do this because it is part of who we are. One of the four pillars of our mission and vision is that we are committed to service. And friends, we don't do this because we think God's grace doesn't matter. We know that God's grace is an extraordinary gift, a gift that is poured out upon us, a gift that then prompts us and pushes us and propels us back out the door to do good works, not because we need to earn our salvation, but because we want to show others there is power in God's love. Making a difference is our way of proclaiming over and over again that our faith matters. This church matters, not just because it changes our lives, but because together we have the power to change the world. Thanks be to God. Amen. And friends, we bring our service